I am Wanda Curley, your host for today, and I have the honor of bringing in Natalie Gregg, and we are going to discuss personal branding, which is very important in today's career field. So, Natalie, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this dynamic area of personal branding.
Hi, Wanda. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you today and have a discussion around personal branding, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot about what that means for women since March is Women's History Month, so thank you for the opportunity to have this discussion. I guess a little bit about me. I am kind of sort of a professor by day and a speaker by afternoon, and on the weekends I'm the author and the chief behind Leading in Stilettos, which is the Women's Manifesto of Thriving in the Male Dominant Society.
Wow, and that sounds really fascinating. Not that I ever wore stilettos, but that sounds very good.
The stilettos is a frame of mind. It's my personal story about me being a little girl and dressing up in my mom's stilettos with my father's briefcase and pretending to go off to work. And so fast forward a couple of decades later, I hate to say, most of my career I've been working primarily with men and working in a pretty much a male-dominant society, whether I was working with the Chamber of Commerce or whether I was doing something on the economic development side. And I hate to say there were not many women sitting around those conference tables, and I don't think much has changed now. We are seeing some small areas of where we are moving the needle, but not enough. And so I start to think, well, how can we get women out into the forefront? I think Sheryl Sandberg's TED Talk a couple of years ago, when she, even before she wrote Lean In, talking about, okay, these are some of the things that women are coming up against, and this is how we actually start the conversation to help us be more viable in leadership roles.
That's quite interesting. I am a project manager by profession. And also, by the way, I am a professor at a university as well and also write books. So it sounds like we have a lot in common. When I was at AT&T, I remember one time, and I was brought in as a professional, and I was one of very few professional women at AT&T. And I was on the federal side. We were sitting in a conference room, and the director started talking, and he needed some copies made. And I was the only woman in the room, and he looked at me and said, would you go make me some copies? And I'm thinking, wait a minute.
All too often.
Yes, there's junior men here, and you didn't ask them to make. And I refused to do it. So I started standing up for myself soon in the practice. But I had no idea what a personal brand was at that point.
And it's also the same thing as if we're in a meeting and it's women and men and a gentleman is actually leading the meeting, he will automatically ask the female to say no.
Yes, I've been in that situation as well.
Absolutely. But how we as women start to take control of our personal brand and start to say, not only say, no, we're not going to do it, but help the men understand that they don't need to ask us to begin here just because we're thinking.
Yes, I entirely agree with that. I know there are some companies that push personal brand, and when I was at Deloitte, they pushed it, and I really didn't understand it because I thought, I'm a project manager, why do I need to have a personal brand? Project manager is a project manager.
And it's so interesting as far as building a personal brand, we kind of get very tunnel vision as far as what we do and why we do it, but other people don't necessarily understand what we do and why we do it. So in building that personal brand, that kind of puts that story into play as well as communication.
So what goes into a personal brand, in your opinion, and what makes it strong?
Well, what makes it strong is first deciding the same thing as we would for our corporation or our organization. What is the vision? What do we want our outcomes to be? What do we want to be known for? Are we the fastest? Are we results-oriented? Where do we place our value? is our value in strategic partnership, is our value in communication. You know, first really making a conscious effort, what do we want to be known for? I ask my students to do this branding exercise, and I'll share this with your audience. You know, go to 3 to 5 people that have known you from various amounts of time and say to them, when you hear my name or you see my name, what 3 words come to mind?
Interesting.
And then start collecting the words. And then sitting down with maybe a mentor or a trusted advisor and saying, okay, these are the things that people are saying about me. And deciding, do I want to be known for these 3 words? Or do I want to expand my brand and start to pull in other words?
Okay.
What I did a couple of years ago with a couple of my interns, I actually adopted a hashtag, Lead Loudly. And I started using that hashtag as part of my brand, and it's the battle cry for women to be bold, confident, and fearless.
It's interesting. I like that hashtag, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
So let me ask you, let's say you ask these 3 to 5 people about words that describe you, and you decide you don't like that. What would you recommend that these people do, or these women
I could recommend that these women say, okay, this is what I'm seen as and known for at this point. From this point forward, these are the 3 words that I want to be known for. And I would go back to the same 5 that they asked and say to them, these are the 3 words that I want to be known for. Please give me 3 to 5 sentences as far as how you think I can make this transition. And I'm going to come back to you in about 45 to 60 days and ask you, have I accomplished these things?
One thing that you did mention is that to have a mentor, to discuss it with your mentor. I have found that too many women in business don't even think about having a coach or a mentor. In your opinion, how important is that, especially when you're developing your brand?
It is vitally important. And I'm going to say that again, Wanda. It is so vital because mentoring as well as sponsoring, which are 2 different things, if you're going to lead loudly in the market, it is critical. You can't do it without it.
Okay, and you said they're different, so why don't you tell our audience what the difference is?
Mentoring is can be very similar to a trusted advisor, that this person may be 1 or 2 years ahead of you in their career, or they may be 10 years ahead of you in their career, and they may be doing something that you would like to do or something similar that you're already doing. A sponsor is very different. A sponsor is someone who will actually carry the water for you and use their sphere of influence to get you access to what you would like to do. Like, say, for instance, I'll give you an example that I had with one of my students last night. She was applying for a school of public health at one of the universities I attended, and she was so disappointed that she did not get in. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, why didn't you pick up the phone and call me? And she said it wasn't meant to be. I'm like, excuse me? I said, my mentor is the dean of the public health school. The only thing I had to do was pick up the phone and give him a call on his mobile and said, I need you to do this for me.
Ah, yes.
Prime example of sponsorship, that he would actually carry the water on that and actually bring her into the School of Public Health based upon his sphere of influence.
Yeah, I have found that many women in the business world are afraid to ask because they think they're imposing. And networking is so important, especially in building your brand. What are your thoughts on that?
I have been muddling this over in my head, Wanda, about 2 years about creating a series called The Power of the Fearless Ask ASK, because women are afraid to ask. I was teaching an executive female management program at my alma mater, which is an all-girls school, and a young lady came up to me after, and it was the power of the pitch. And she said to me, I really want to move into the vice president role at my company. I said, I think that's a fantastic idea. Have you spoken with your CEO? And she was like, I'm hesitant about talking to him. I'm like, excuse me? I said, he's a part of your team. I said, if you win, the company wins also. And yeah. I said, you really need to go to him and have that conversation with him. And she was like, well, I don't know how to approach him. I said, well, start with this. How about asking him for a 30-minute meeting and talk about your goals, but also talk about what have you accomplished for the company and also where do you want to go? And so reluctantly, she had the conversation with him, Wanda, and he opened up his desk drawer and pulled out a stack of cards with her name on it that said Vice President. And this is a true story.
Wow.
He said, I've had these cards for a year, but I was waiting on you to ask for it.
Interesting. You don't know until you ask.
Exactly. And she immediately got a raise and a company car.
Wow. What more could you ask for?
Exactly. That's a true story. He said, I was waiting a year for you to ask for it.
So what would you say to those women that do ask, but they get a negative response? How do you think they should handle that negative? None of us like negative comments, but we get them. So how would you help them?
First, try to encourage them that it's not personal. And I know sometimes with women it is, including me.
And
because
me.
I can't tell you how many times that I've gone screaming to my male counterparts about this didn't work, about that it's not working, and they said no to this and they said no to that. But I think that's where your mentor becomes vitally important, and also building a team of people around you that help you get through these challenging times. And if the person says no, then ask them, well, what can I do to get a yes? What does that yes look like for you? How can I help you help me get to that yes?
So it's kind of flipping the conversation to make it a positive instead of a negative.
Exactly. And sometimes if it doesn't work, then okay, then what's your strategy for what will work for you? I think we as women need to become CEO of ourselves first before anything else.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to comment that I have found that with some companies that I've worked at, that I realized too late that the culture and the ethics within the organization were vastly different than mine, and it was never going to work. So I finally had to make the bold move of just leaving. And
because
I think too many of us are
yourself.
Right, because I think too many of us are too scared to step away from an organization because you're getting that monthly salary or biweekly salary and you're afraid that it's going to go away and you're not going to be able to get something else.
But there's also endless possibilities out there in the marketplace, whether you work for a company or an organization or a nonprofit or whether you step out and be an entrepreneur.
Right.
But I think it also comes to the mindset and what we believe we can accomplish and getting that team together, getting that team together to help us accomplish it. And I think as women, a lot of times, and I'm going to raise my hand on this for me included, we tend to do things by ourselves. We think if we work hard enough, if we do what we're supposed to do, it will automatically come. Not necessarily.
That's absolutely true. I know the last company I worked for, the culture was so dramatically opposed to mine, and the leadership models were so dramatically opposed to mine. I have never, ever in my life allowed myself to bring work home, but this one was so bad, I was actually bringing work home. And by bringing work home, I don't mean physical work. I mean bringing it in my mind
Sure, absolutely.
I was actually crying, and I have never done that. And my husband finally looked at me, and he said, "You're quitting on Monday." And I needed to hear that, and I did it. And I felt so much better.
Congratulations. Awesome.
Yeah. But it took a lot for me to realize that. So I wonder, how do we tell millennial women and Gen X women that it's all right to say, this is not for me, and there's something better out there? And how does this then tie in back to defining their brand, their personal brand?
Well, I think a lot of times in defining your personal brand, you're also building your confidence as well as building your platform and building your audience.
Okay.
And especially if you're leveraging social media, whether you're talking about being a project manager, whether you're talking about being an entrepreneur, whether you're talking about being a leader, it's so important for women to get their gifts and talents out there in the marketplace, not only with what they're doing in their organization, but leveraging these platforms, and especially LinkedIn, you know, actually talking about these stories, you know, what does it mean, actually building strategic partnerships and starting these conversations with people in the marketplace.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I have a daughter that's graduating from college, and she's lucky in a sense that she's decided to go to the Army, so she has a set career path in front of her for at least for the next 5 years. But
right.
She decided to do that. But I still told her, you need to get on LinkedIn and decide how you want to portray yourself in the professional environment. Even if you are an Army officer, there's an Army officer and there's Army officers. You've got to decide what you are as an Army officer.
That's correct, because LinkedIn is such a powerful tool. And I teach several workshops on harnessing LinkedIn, whether you're starting to build your personal brand, whether it's important for you now to actually leverage and build your network. But LinkedIn is kind of a safe platform, for lack of a better word, that where professionals can mm-hmm. have engaging conversations about where they are, what they're doing, and where they want to go. You know, LinkedIn for me, and this was several years ago, I actually had my first Fortune 100 client call me for my LinkedIn profile.
Wow.
And I really thought it was one of my girlfriends playing a trick on me. And I said, I'm sorry, who did you say you were and where are you calling from? I said, oh, and I said, well, how did you find out about me? And they said, well, I read your LinkedIn profile, and we really want to launch our women's leadership initiative because we actually want to hire more women from within the company to middle management and upper management positions. And I said, okay, let's have a conversation. I said, but first I want to talk with your CEO first.
And how did they take that?
And Jill was like, what? And I said, because I need his buy-in.
Makes sense.
And I said, because this is not a conversation where we're going off to a retreat for a week, and that's what we did, and we come back and nothing happened. I said, I need his buy-in from the top down and also across to your board of directors and the remainder of your stakeholders to help everybody understand that this is not some feel-good activity. This is a strategic alignment for your company.
Wow, good for you. I've seen so many strategic things just kind of wilt because nobody will take ownership of it.
Exactly.
The CEO might say, thou shalt, but nobody does the shalt because they don't know how to do it.
And we have to have those risky conversations and say, okay, this is not some piece that we're going to take sitting down. We're going to stand up and be bold and confident and fearless and say, okay, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing.
Yeah. I help companies with trying to implement their portfolios, try to implement their strategies through portfolios. And it's amazing how many people say, I'll start saying, hey, this project can't be done or that, because it doesn't meet any of the strategies. And they said, but we've got to have it done. And I'll say, well, tell me which strategy it meets, and then we'll do it. And there's so much money that goes into superfluous things that aren't needed for the company.
That is so true.
So, kind of back to the personal brand a little bit. I know when I was Deloitte, they not only said to have your personal brand, but to also have an elevator speech on what you are about, because you never knew when you were going to be in the elevator with the CEO. And it wasn't unusual for us to see the CEO in the elevator. So is that something that we still should have as women?
Well, an elevator speech or something that says how you want people once again to think and feel about you.
Okay.
You know, is it, what do you want to focus on? Do you drive results? Do I forge strategic partnerships? Am I a project manager who brings every project in on time and on the budget? What is that do you deliver? And be confident. Practice it. Once again, go to these five people and say to them, okay, this is my elevator speech, this is my pitch, this is what I'm working on. Help me to mold this in the way that I sound confident and bold.
Excellent. And so how would you say, let's say you were fortunate enough and it's just you and the CEO and you're in the elevator, how would you recommend a woman go and be bold about that? Should they put their hand out and for a handshake? Should they just start into the elevator speech? What do you recommend?
Oh, I would absolutely extend my hand for a handshake, because I would assume that he might not know who I am, but I would not have the opportunity to introduce myself and introduce myself the way I would like to be introduced.
Yeah, because if somebody else introduces us, it could be a very different message that the CEO receives.
Exactly. And personal branding is about taking control of that message that you want to convey.
And I would also like to extend out to the women in the audience that even if you are a junior project manager or in a middle management, be bold and make an appointment with the CEO or CEO.
Absolutely.
Or CTO. Somebody in the C-suite, because you want to get that visibility. I regret that I didn't do that. And I had so many people say, Wanda, go make the appointment, and I just would never do it. So I would really push people to, it needs to be done.
That's correct. And go, and if you feel uncomfortable about making the meeting, then go where they go. If it's the if it's a club, if it's a restaurant, if it's a golf course, then go where they're hanging out. They're hanging out someplace after work.
That is true.
If you don't play golf or can't play golf, go volunteer to drive a cart. Go volunteer for a volunteer opportunity. Because most CEOs and most middle managers and upper management, they're involved in the community in some shape, form, or fashion. And they have some passion project someplace. Find out what it is and go be visible.
And something I want to also tell everybody is always be prepared. I was on an Acela here in the Northeast on the train, and I sat down, and there was the CEO of Deloitte Federal, and I thought, wow, I haven't spoken to him since I left Deloitte. So I went up and extended my hand, and I said, Robin, you probably don't remember me, but I'm Wanda Curley. And he said, oh, yeah, I do remember you. And I kind of left it at that, and I was heads down working on something. And he actually came to me and started talking. We spoke for about 15 minutes. And all his entourage was going, who's that person? You know?
That's
so,
right. That's right. So do you keep in communication with them now?
Oh, yes, absolutely, on LinkedIn, and occasionally I reach out to them, especially if I'm going to be in the area, and I set up some time.
Fantastic. Have you told them about your new venture?
No, not yet. I need to do that.
Absolutely.
Who knows? He might bring me in.
There you go. Or they might become a sponsor of your podcast.
There you go. I hadn't even thought about that.
See, that's where personal branding plays a strategic role.
Absolutely. See, I learned something in this podcast myself, as I always do.
Well, because, like I said, and you probably know this is another one, you've done the work. You have been an industry leader in project management for women, so you've done the work.
Absolutely.
So now it's to be seen as the expert, as the authority, and monetize that.
Yep, that's what it's all about. We've got to maintain our sense of being, and also we have to maintain our livelihood as well.
That's correct.
We don't live on kisses and love, as I tell my daughter.
That's right. So all of the junior project managers, especially females, those that are thinking about what is project management, how do I get there, then absolutely.
So if you could think of maybe two to five things that a woman who's starting her career or is in middle management right now could do to strengthen their brand and become more visible, what would you recommend to them?
Number one, start with the vision. Where do you want your life to be in the next 5 to 10 years? Start getting crystal clear about your top three strengths, what they are, and how you deliver them. Number three is really thinking about how do you incorporate your three strengths and also your three branding words into your daily life. Say, for instance, if you deliver results, how do you deliver results on a day-to-day basis? Start breaking it down into tasks and start thinking about it, and maybe jotting down in your day planner or in your journal or in your phone, how am I delivering these results on a day-to-day basis? Because sometimes after 30 days, we forget what we've done on day one.
That's
so
true.
I think this is very important to kind of jot it down. And you said something that was so vital when you talked about culture. What type of culture do you thrive in?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a very corporate culture? Is it engaging culture? Is a nonprofit best for you? You know, decide where you can really be and bloom and have amazing results. And not be afraid to say, okay, this culture doesn't work for me, but I'm going to find one that does.
Yes, that culture. I think people underplay culture too much.
Exactly. They don't understand how vital it is to your performance.
Mm-hmm.
That it can enhance your performance or it can either minimize it.
Absolutely. So any last words for us, Natalie?
Yes. To encourage all women to go out there, please find a mentor. Please, please, if you don't do anything else, please find a mentor to help you on this journey.
So, Natalie, thank you.
And make a decision to do this because we all can.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I still have mentors, and I'm on the probably upper side of my career right now, so I can't even emphasize how important it is even for me to have a mentor. And I have proteges as well, so, and I love to do that. It's so helpful.
Yes, that's vital also.
This has been an exciting podcast. I've learned so much from you, Natalie. Thank you for joining me today. Your discussion has been inspirational and has given me a lot of new ideas to think about. I will go contact the CEO from Deloitte. So,
yay.
He Empowered was delighted in sponsoring this podcast on defining your personal brand. Join us next month for another informative podcast. Thank you and have a wonderful day.